Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning we have that assurance that Jesus indeed did throw your shackles into the sea if you have been born again, washed in the blood, cleansed and made whole by the Son of God. So we have that promise this morning that we have been cleansed. And I want to say this morning that I am excited about, we've started the Sunday school quarter looking at addiction, sexual bondage, and that kind of thing. Last Sunday when we sat there in the class, I thank the Sunday school committee for embracing it and helping this thing to happen. It's been quite a journey with the Board of Ministry and myself and over a year of searching for material and feeling a lot of resistance and that kind of thing. I wept yesterday or last Sunday when we sat there in that class, and God in His timing was making this happen. And I just realized again this morning, and I know that you're all aware of the fact that I believe this here bondage, sexual addiction, whatever other addiction it might be, but I believe specifically this sexual addiction or bondage, whatever you want to call it, has had an incredible negative impact on the church. And I believe the church, it's invasive. It has come in and has taken residence and is destroying the very core of the church. Last night, to my dismay, I walked out onto the front porch and I sat on the recliner. I was preparing the message for today, and I just wanted some time to sit quiet on the front porch, and I went out on the front porch, and to my dismay, I saw something hanging in a spider web, and it had a red belly and all that stuff, and as I got up close and looked at it, I discovered it was one of those spotted lantern flies, and I saw there was two of them hanging in the same spider web, and as I was looking along the bricks there on the side of the house, suddenly I was coming in connection with, it was just loaded with them. The spotted lanternfly. We've heard stories about them, how they're destroying trees or invading. It started in Berks County, is moving around. And I'm thinking, I planted 3 spruce trees 20 years ago. They are big. And I thought about these spruce trees, and I remembered that one of the things that these spotted lanternflies that they like is the spruce tree or the pine tree. And so I went and looked at the spruce trees, which are on the west side of our house, 50 feet away from the house. And I looked at the trees, and sure enough, I saw one crawling up the trunk of the tree. And so I went back up to the house, and I got a fly swatter, and I started swatting them off the wall. And when my bag was, I had 50 of them in my bag, approximately 50. And I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. I was like, what should we do with this? Karen was out, we were talking about it. And as I was standing there in front of the house, something caught my eye, and I looked up, and here there was an eagle soaring. Now, these lanternflies they would go to the top of the spruce tree, and they would jump, and they would float on the wind over to the house, and then they'd land on the wall. I saw this happening, and I just, Lord, if the wind would blow the other way, they would go somewhere else, perhaps, over in a neighbor's property. But I looked up and I saw this eagle floating on the same wind that the spotted lanternflies were coming in on. And I noticed one thing. I saw the eagle coming and I watched as it soared overhead, and not once did it flap its wings. It just rode with the wind. God spoke to me. It was overwhelming. I said, God, thank you. Thank you. So that eagle is so much bigger than that little spotted lanternfly, and God is fully in control of everything that is happening. Amen? Amen? There is no spotted lanternfly that can destroy the very essence of God's church. There is nothing, the wickedness, the evil that Satan wants to bring into the church to destroy it from the inside out. It cannot happen, because if we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ, God is that spirit. God is the spirit that floats and gives that comfort of knowing that He is so much bigger. He is so much greater. And God spoke to me. I don't know what's going to happen with the trees, but you know, it doesn't really matter so much anymore. If they die, we'll cut them down. Maybe we'll use them for firewood for a campfire or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But I believe today that God's intent is to purify the church. God's intent is to purify the church. And if he's going to purify the church, then we need to hear from him. We need to be able to hear him. And we need to be able to hear. And sometimes I think it's so difficult for us to hear because we're so busy being loud and obnoxious about what we don't like that we forget to look up and see the promise that God has made, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's the confidence that we have. That is the promise that we have. That is what we have to lean on. You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and as we're looking at the process of adding an additional minister to our team here at New Covenant, I think probably one of the biggest things, and I used the illustration this morning to lead us to the point where God speaks to us. God speaks to us if we are willing to open our ears and listen to him, if we are willing to see. There are many ways that God speaks to us. And I think it was probably for all of us here this morning, we desire to hear from God. We want to hear him. We want to hear him speak to us. But there are so many times that we go on a search and we go out on our own trying to find our way. We try and use our human understanding. We use our wisdom to try and find out what God's saying. And there are so many times, our wisdom doesn't even enter into what God is saying. Yes, I believe God uses our minds and our wisdom. Let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with what which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ in us. And so I share this scripture with you this morning to share that it was by the Spirit of God that you understood and that you became a believer in Jesus Christ. And it was through his Spirit, through his Spirit's leading, it was the wisdom that came from the Spirit of God into you that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you think God stopped there leading us with his Spirit? Do you think God stopped when he brought you into the fold, into the kingdom of God? Do you think that's the place he stopped leading you by his Spirit? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But today, this morning, I want to draw our minds to a few things that I believe hinder us from understanding and grasping a hold of the how God leads us. One of the things that keeps us from understanding God speaking to us. We've all asked the question, and I'm going to read Acts 13, 2 and 3. You don't need to turn there. Acts 13, verses 2 and 3, it says this. And this is when, let me back up to verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius, Cyrene, Manin, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord, and I want you to understand that, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And in verse 4, so being sent out by whom? The Holy Spirit. So the Spirit said, and many of us today would love to have the Spirit say to us. You know, when we think about, as we have taken time to ponder and think about the calling of a minister, and we all want God to speak to us. We want to hear something from God. And I challenge you again as we go through this here process. The process is not just giving a name, but that if you come here on Friday night, the 28th, and you want to share with the oversight and with the leadership here, there's a discernment process that happens. So if you don't exactly feel or hear something from God, come anyway and share your thoughts, share your feelings, share what God is saying to you. Because I believe that God speaks to all of us individually. God does not speak just through me or the board of ministry, or the board of elders, or you know, you name it. God speaks to all of us. And I believe it's important that we understand that. When choosing people, we think like people. We are inclined to choose based on human wisdom. So again, it is so imperative that we search to hear the Spirit of God speaking in our hearts. If this would have been the case, if people were picked by our own wisdom, by our own understanding, then David would have never been chosen, one of the greatest leaders of Israel. David would not have been chosen. He wasn't even brought in. He wasn't even in the running. But God told Samuel, he doesn't look on the outward like man does, but he searches the heart. Therefore, we need to search our hearts. In Romans 8:14, it says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Who is the sons of God? Who's the sons of God? Those who are led by the Spirit. That's what it said. I didn't write it. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Can you testify this morning that you are being led by the Spirit of God? You say, well, Luke, yeah, I think I am. But there's times that I don't really understand and fully know how it is that God speaks to me. I want to hear. I want to hear from God. There's decisions that I need to make that I want to hear God. I want to hear His voice. And I ask you this morning, are you being led by the Spirit of God? Because the Bible says those that are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I believe this morning there are a number of things. In Luke 8:14, we have the account of the parable that Jesus told of those that went out and sowed seed. Some fell on stony ground, some fell on different types of ground. And Luke 8:14, getting my 8s and 14s mixed up here. Let me just read it to you. And I apologize, I'm going to be switching through some scriptures here. In chapter 8, verse 14, in Luke it says this, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who when they have heard go out and are choked with cares, riches and pleasure of the life and bring no fruit to maturity. Let me read it again. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. May I introduce to you, may I suggest again this morning to you that one of the biggest things, three of the things that God has spoke to in the scripture here, bear with me, three of the things that God has spoke to here in the scripture are things that we deal with on a daily basis. Worries. We can all sitting here, we know exactly what I'm talking about when we talk about worries, choking out the word of God, choking out the voice of God. We don't hear the voice of God because we are so wrapped up in worrying about how things are going to work out that we don't stop to ask and to feel and to sense the Spirit of God speaking in our spirits because we're so choked up with worry. The other one is wealth. We become so choked up with wealth, with making things work out and feeling like, well, you know what, if I don't work hard, if I don't have enough of money to do the things that I need to do, then how's this going to work out? And we worry. So we have wealth and worry going on. See what's happening here? So we get all worried and we get all frustrated and all wrapped up in wealth and worry, and then we have to take a vacation. Then comes in pleasure. So we start wrapping ourselves up. Maybe it's pleasure that I need. Maybe I need to go on another hunting trip. Maybe I need to go on another boating trip. Maybe I need to go golfing. Maybe I need to go fishing. I've done that. So things get all uptight, and so, well, I need to go fishing. Well, then I need to go fishing again because I'm frustrated I didn't catch anything that time, so I need to go fishing again. So we get wrapped up in pleasure. The first time didn't do what I wanted it to do. And in all of this, all the time, we get on our knees or we go to bed at night, we fall in bed and we say, Lord, speak to me. And the next thing he hears is snoring. I'm just saying it like it is. I think it is anyway. Let's put it this way. I've done that. And we don't stop to hear the voice of God speaking to us. Am I saying that recreation or pleasure and money and I don't think worry is ever really good. I don't think there's really any good that comes out of that. But are these things wrong? When they come and they bind us up and we no longer hear the voice of God, yes, they become an idol to us. They become an idol to us. There are many different types of weeds. There might be a weed in your life that I didn't mention. Maybe it's not worry. Maybe it's not work or pleasure. It might be different things. It might be relationships, responsibilities, anything. Anything that keeps us from hearing the voice of God speaking to us. And it is so important that we get on our knees and we stop and we come before God and we say, God, is there anything you want to say to me today? While you're awake, of course. While you're awake. While you're not wrapped up in the pleasure of life. While you're not wrapped up in the work of life. But God, what do you want to say to me? I'm going to quickly go over a few times and different ways that God spoke throughout the Bible. And I don't have them in any kind of real specific order. So again, I might be jumping around here a little bit in my Bible, and I apologize for, I should have put these on an overhead or something, it would have been that you could follow along. But I'm going to look at Acts chapter 27. Interesting story that I found intriguing as I thought about in Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Listen to how God spoke to Paul. In Acts 27, 10, it says this, saying, men. Well, let's start at 9. Now, when much time had been spent, they're out on the ocean and there's a hurricane or whatever going on. And this is like for 14 days, they are being beaten and tossed and the wind is blowing. They can't get to where they want to go. And this is what Paul says. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was already over, that's something to do with the time of year. Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." And I wonder what it sounded like. What did Paul experience that he knew that this was the voice of God speaking to him? What did he experience? And probably some of you here this morning can identify with that, where God just in your spirit spoke to you gently and softly, giving you direction. But you know what? You had to stop, be quiet, and hear. Stop, be quiet, and hear for it to come to any understanding. Then we go on into verse 22 of this chapter. It says this, "And now I urge you to take heart." So this storm went on. They told the ship was going to be lost and the lives and everybody. "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve." So this time an angel came and spoke to Paul. So many of us have laid on our beds at night saying, "God, just send an angel to speak to me. God, just send an angel that'll give me some direction that I might know how and where to go." And the purpose would be that we truly can follow what God wants for us. It is our heart's desire. We have God coming to Moses in the burning bush and then speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And I think that's unique. Then we have in Numbers 22, verse 28, the story of the donkey and Balaam, and how that Balaam's riding his donkey along, the donkey stops and doesn't want to go anymore, and he starts beating the donkey, and the donkey talks to him. That's amusing enough, but you know what really amuses me? He talked back to the donkey. He said, "If I'd have a sword, I'd run it through you." And the donkey said, "Why? I've done nothing but good for you. I've worked with mules. I've been at that place where if I'd had a sword. If I said the things I felt and that mule would have talked back to me, I'd have left the field. I wouldn't be there talking to him." You see what I'm saying? So we get so caught up that we don't even see when God's speaking to us. We get so wrapped up in the things that are going on around us. We get so wrapped up in the situation. We get so wrapped up in the irritation, the agitation, that we actually talk back to the donkey when he talks to us. Exodus 19, when he came to the Mount Sinai, and God spoke to the people from Mount Sinai, and he spoke with through the thunder and the lightning, and the smoke covered the mountain, and boy, we would all love to have that happen sometime. We would all love to hear God speak to us from, the Blue Mountains or whatever. That is lightning and flashing and smoke, and all of a sudden, God's speaking to us. That was one way God spoke to him. Then we have the account in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12, where Elijah went out on the mountain and he went into a cave, and God told him to watch for him. He wants to show him something. And he goes, stands at the mouth of the cave, and the rocks broke, and lightning and thunder and hail, whatever it was, the mountain shook and the rocks fell. And Elijah was, that's what happened on Mount Sinai. Probably God's going to speak to him. Then there was a raging fire over the mountain. And again, as Elijah stood there, it wasn't God speaking through the fire. It wasn't him speaking through the storm. He stood there and he heard a still, small voice. And he covered his head, wrapped his mantle around him, and God spoke to him. And you could probably name as many ways as you can think of. Throughout the scripture, there are many times that God spoke in so many different ways. But one of the primary ways that I believe that God has for us today is through his written word. God has spoken to us through his written word. He also speaks to us through his spirit. And it is when we get quiet, God is saying, "Come, come." You know, it used to be in the Old Testament, let me read to you a devotional from Truth for Life. "Distance and separation were the marks of the old covenant. When God appeared even to his servant Moses, what did he say? 'Do not come near. Take the sandals off your feet. For when when he was coming up to the bush and God was speaking to him, it was holy ground. Stop. Don't come any closer. And then he revealed himself in Mount Sinai to his chosen people and separated people. One of the first commands was this: you shall set limits for the people all around that they don't get close and touch the mountain. If they would get close enough to touch the mountain, they were to be stoned or an arrow was to be shot through them. So there was perimeters put around. They were not to come closer. The other thing was in the tabernacle. The priests went into the Holy of Holies once a year. And the people they stayed back. They were not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And when the gospel came, I paraphrase some of this. When the gospel came, we were placed on quite another footing. The word go was replaced with come. Distance was replaced with nearness. And we who are previously or far away were brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Incarnate deity was no firewall around it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is the joyful proclamation of God as he appears in human flesh. He no longer teaches the leper his leprosy by setting him at a distance, but by himself suffering the penalty of the leper's defilement. What a state of safety and privilege it is, this proximity to God through Jesus. Do you know this experience? Do you know this experience? Where you can come to God. He is inviting you, come. He's not saying stay away. He's saying come. Are you coming to hear him? When you want to hear from God, where is it that you go to? Do you come? One of the things I think that Elijah struggled with when he was sitting there by the brook or wherever it was, and he told the Lord, he said, just slay me. There's nobody else left. Why would you even take time to talk to me? And I think maybe some of us here this morning, we don't hear from God because we don't understand that God truly wants to talk to you as an individual. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you as a person. He wants to. He wants to. And so we miss hearing from God because we kind of have that feeling, well, you know what, if God really knows who I am, and how could he even want to sit down and talk with me? That's a lie from the pits of hell. If you have been born again, wash in the blood, confess your sins. And if you have not confessed your sins, then God wants to talk to you all the more. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. Confess your sin. Lay it on the altar. And sin is simply not accepting the blood of Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you accept Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't care how bad you have been. I don't care where you have been. I don't care what you have done. God is saying, come. Come, I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to be the one that's involved in your life. I want to be the one that speaks to you. I want to be the one that you feel deep down inside, when all of us have experienced that who have been born again. Know when God has spoken to us in that still small voice inside, that there is no explanation for it. You can't describe it. God is saying, come. Yet in spite of our weakness, or perhaps because of our weakness, God does speak to us. And he does this clearly if we have ears to hear. So what's preventing it? What is preventing it? One of the other things I think that we struggle with is that God so many times doesn't speak the way we think he should, or the way we think he will. We have this preconceived idea of how God's going to speak to us. Maybe he's going to put some writing on the wall. Maybe he's going to make the mountain shake. Maybe he is going to whatever, and we lay out fleeces, we do all these things to hear from God, when all the time, all we need to do is stop, listen, and hear. Stop, listen, and hear. So how are the ways that we listen to God? How do we recognize his voice? How is it that in John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep, They know my voice and they follow me. Are you one of God's sheep this morning? Do you know his voice? Are you following him? Are you a spirit-led believer? So what is the primary way that God speaks to us today? Through his word. Through his word. Through the Bible. And I believe that is the primary way that God speaks. He wants to reveal us through the Bible who he is, through his thoughts, what his thoughts are. He wants to reveal to us himself through his written word. So how are you going to know him if we're not reading? So we say, God, show me yourself. I want to know you. We get in this posture of worship, we call it, and we sit down and we kneel on our knees and our faces or whatever, and we say, God, I want to know you, but we never open our Bible to see who he is. Okay, I'm not scolding. I'm saying these are some of the things that we do that God has placed right in front of us who he is. And yet we go around trying to find out who he is. It's here. It's in his word. One of the things that I think another way that God speaks to us is through the counsel of other people. I believe that God does speak to us through the counsel of other people. And I believe this is one that is missed many, many times. Because we have preconceived ideas of people, then we don't hear from them. We don't hear from them. Because we have these preconceived ideas, so we don't hear from other people. I believe it's one of the most neglected ways that God speaks to us is through other people. But there again, when other people are speaking to you, if it is contradictory to God's word, it is not a word from God. It is not a word from God. If it is contradictory to God's word, it is not from God. God will not. The Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that led the men to write this book, will not mislead you by sharing with you something else other than the Holy Written Scripture. One of the third ways that God speaks to us, I believe, is through our circumstances. So many of us in life, we have encountered circumstances that we don't understand. We say, how in the world, you know, what am I supposed to do? When the whole time God's trying to speak to us through our circumstance. We call it doors opening and doors closing and those kinds of things. And we don't hear, and then we think a door closed. Okay, well now I need to figure out what God's saying. What's God saying to me? Well, he just closed the door. Okay? So I run around all over the place trying to find out what God's saying to me when he just closed the door. He closed the window. See, God speaks to us that way. I believe that. And it is imperative that we learn to understand and to hear the voice of God. Because as it says here in the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you cannot understand and know the will of God by human understanding. By reading. Okay. So if we read the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit, we get nothing. We simply have read historical facts and that kind of thing. But when the Spirit of God leads you, when the Spirit of God is leading you in reading the Scripture and understanding it, then you're hearing from God. So once again, we need to understand that God speaks his primary ways through his word. It must always. How can we be sure it is not the enemy leading us astray? How can we be sure that it's not the enemy leading us astray? When someone else gives us direction or someone speaks to us, how can we be sure it's not the enemy leading us astray? Can the enemy do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Go back and line it up with the Word of God. If you feel like a door is being closed or a window is being closed, search the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's not coming from God. So, I ask you this morning again as you think about it, as you wait on the Lord, as you seek to hear from God, I believe that God wants to still God wants to speak to us in miraculous, supernatural ways. I believe that. Okay, so we look at the spirits of we look at the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in the Bible, speaking in tongues. Can the enemy take speaking in tongues and use it against the glory of God? Absolutely. Does that mean we should never speak in tongues? Absolutely not. Because I believe that as the Spirit of God gives utterance, should there be healings or should there be words of prophecy and those kinds of things, Can the devil take that and use it to his glory? Absolutely. He has been able to take the gifts of the Spirit and imitate them. So again, I come back to you. If you are hearing from God through one of these sources, go back to the scripture. If it doesn't glorify God, if it doesn't lift up Jesus Christ, then it's probably not of him. I shouldn't say probably. It's not. Because the Spirit will always, always lift up God and glorify God. So if you're here this morning and you need to hear from God, stop, listen, and hear. We got to lay aside these things that are causing our minds to become cluttered and just get back to simply allowing the Spirit of God to speak to our inner spirit. Because He will. He wants to. He has a desire to. He wants to minister to you. He wants to minister to me. And so again this morning, as you take time with the Lord, don't just tell Him what you want. I think we have become so intense at times in hearing from God that we actually put words in His mouth. We actually put words in His mouth. So can God speak to you this morning? Amen. He can. Yes, He can. Hear from Him. Hear from Him. Seek His voice. In John 10, like I said, the sheep know the Master's voice, and they follow Him. And it's said that in these shepherds' folds, there would be more than one shepherd would get together at these places where the sheep would mingle. And in the mornings, they would go out, and the shepherd would stand. I don't know. Again, just bear with me. I don't know how accurate this is. I quote somebody else. One shepherd would stand over here and the other one over there, and he'd call to his sheep. The sheep that were his would come to him. The sheep that were not, they went to the other person as he called his voice. Do you know the voice of the Master this morning? Do you know the voice of the shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one and only shepherd? Do you know His voice this morning? Father, I thank You this morning that we have opportunity. By Your written word, Lord, I thank You that we have opportunity to be able to get to know You better. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we've looked at the way that You speak and have spoken throughout Scripture, I pray, Lord, that You would continue to guide our hearts, guide our minds, and keep our thoughts centered on You, Lord. And when those invasive pests come along, Father, I pray that You would help us to look above those pests and see the true reality of the Spirit that is there willing to lead and to speak to us. So, Father, again this morning, we give this time to You. I pray for the Word. I pray that You would protect it and that it would grow to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the chorister to come and lead us in song. And while he is doing that, the altar is open this morning if you feel the need. So let's stand together and as the chorister leads us in song. If you feel the need to do business with God this morning, the altar is open for you to do that. Someone will pray with you.